Welcome to Follow Your Kind Podcast, a show where we explore the meaning of kindness and how we can express it in our daily lives. My name is Christina, and I'm your host. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Follow Your Kind Podcast. This is season one, the local chapter, where I interview all my favorite Atlanta heroes to see what kind of cool stuff they're up to. And today we have Jack on the show. I met Jack, I think, through Humane League. The first time we met was in one of the restaurants and the gigs, right?
It was, it was a Humane League yearly event, whatever they call it.
Right, it was athletic, the Team Humane.
Team Humane League's, like, fundraiser and,
right,
like, celebration. Yeah, and ran into each other and we just started talking.
Yeah.
And caught up and everything.
But yeah. I had you on my radar before that because I've heard about the amazing work that Radish was doing, and somebody told me that you were the guy to talk to about that. So I secretly had you on my radar before
that. I didn't know that, actually. That's funny. That's really funny.
Okay, so we'll go right ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what are you up to today?
My name's Jack Van Remmen. I am originally from Wisconsin, moved down to Atlanta when I was 6. Been here ever since.
Wow.
I am in a master's program at Georgia State for behavioral therapy. That's
cool.
What I do. That's my job. I work with a lot of special needs kids and other things. So that's really busy. And then on the side, I do a lot of volunteer and charity work and community work with an organization called Radish. Even before Radish, I was doing a few other things. But yeah, and so we meet once a week, typically on Wednesday nights, to make vegan and healthy food for, we refer to them as marginalized communities, just so we can be as inclusive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But predominantly, it's LGBTQ homeless youth. And we have a few other organizations we donate to. One is people with HIV and AIDS who are homeless, the organization is helping them receive housing and stuff. And yeah, and that's very important to me because I'm a gay man. And yeah, I like to help my community and I love to cook. Obsessed with it. So
that is awesome. That's a really cool concept. Well, since we're already diving right ahead into Radish, so let's just explore that. Tell us, how long has the gig been going on, and kind of maybe what started it, and how long have you been involved?
So I am not a founder. We just had our 1 year, I believe it was in November, was our 1 year celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good while. And I found out about Radish. I'm really into the local music scene. A lot of my friends are musicians. Most of my friends are all artists. And so I went to a house show, someone's basement, to see somebody play. I don't know, some friend, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And other bands were playing and everything, and I caught this one act. I think they're called Young Siren. Yes, they were. And one of the members was involved in Radish. And they just started and were explaining it all to me. And we really hit it off, and I saw on Facebook that they're having an event.
Mm-hmm.
So I grabbed my roommate and said, like, hey, let's go. I have stuff to drop off. Like I said, I'm really into cooking. A lot of my friends who aren't artists, most of them are cooks as well. So I had a bunch of black bean patties to donate that I got from a friend of mine, got somewhere, you know, whatever. And so I thought I was just going to, like, sneak in, drop food off, and, like, just get out. You know, just, like, kind of, like, be there for a second and just, like, help and, like, So I got there, and me and my roommate got there. He was the only heterosexual, and it was like just 6 people, all cooking in this really nice big kitchen, and they had a bunch of free beer, so that encouraged us to stay. And it was the other coordinators, and we just started cooking. And
was it somebody's house, or was it like a restaurant?
It was,
You're good.
It was at a land trust, so it's actually an indicator. It's very close to where we are. It's a land trust. It's a bunch of people who live in this big community together.
Okay.
And yeah, and they have a giant, the kitchen was great. It was this deep sinks, double burner, you know, huge kitchen. And they were making Thanksgiving meals for everybody.
You said it was around November?
It was around November, yes.
Okay.
So yeah, Thanksgiving. And they had some extra, they had a bunch of donations. They had vegan cheese, like Daya brand, you know, something like that. And you don't usually want to cook with stuff like that if you're cooking to people you don't know.
Right. Why not?
we want to encourage people to eat healthy food, but sometimes, you know, things can be too vegan or too plant-based, and so people are just weirded out by, like, the idea of soy cheese or nut cheese.
Got it.
And, you know, like, it's good, and I encourage everyone to try it, but, you know, we...
You want to ease it in.
Right, and, like, we've even had complaints in the past about, like, because we'll make our own homemade ricotta cheese for our lasagna, and people are just, it's just too strange. They don't...
Wow, you're going fancy. That's awesome. I'm going to eat that recipe.
Oh, it is. It's really easy. It's great. It's tofu-based. I'm really proud of it. But anyway, so I go there, I show up, and we just had all this extra vegan cheese. And I was like, do you guys want to make some mac and cheese for ourselves? Like, just something to eat?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, sure. And so I just started cooking. Everyone loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I kept going. And eventually they asked me if I wanted to be a coordinator. I had just gotten fired from one job. And then they asked me to be a coordinator at this. So the joke was, that job that I'm not getting paid for just gave me a promotion as I got fired from my job that actually matters. But yeah, and so then that was it, and we just hit the ground running, and it's been really, really cool how, it hasn't been easy, but just how, like, giving people are, like, as soon mm-hmm. as they realized, like, what we were doing, what our goal was, we just get donations of food and money, or somebody who came once and then wasn't able to make it ever again bought the Radish domain. We hadn't, because we're all dumb artists who don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this computer geek did it, and I mean that in the best possible term, bought it and gave it to us. And she said, I have this. I will run it for you guys. We haven't gotten it up and running yet. A few glitches in the way. But just, here you go. We got a bunch of cookware. Just here you go. Knives. Everything. Just people are just so giving to our organization that it makes it a lot easier. It's not easy, but it's definitely really cool to see how many people want to come out and help.
That is cool. I think that's the most beautiful part, at least from my experience with, like, fundraising with Humane League, is how amazing it is to see, for my personal inspiration, to see other people being kind. Like, because I never expect people to actually hear me sometimes, or, like, to believe in me, or, like, to donate money to the causes. And when they do, my heart just literally melts. I think that's so beautiful to see people really come show up for that.
No, I very much understand what you, when you don't really expect, like,
right.
And sometimes it feels like you're just, like, screaming at a void, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just, like,
exactly.
It doesn't feel like you're making a dent, but then you just see how many, like, yes, the people we're directly helping, it's insane and it's great, but then the people who are just, like, getting something back from this
mm-hmm.
is always so wonderful, and just happy to help in any way.
Right. Okay, so let me see if I got the concept right. So every Wednesday you have people, random people who have food to donate. It can be either the food that can be cooked, or it can be the food that is already cooked, right? And they just bring it to this one spot,
so,
and then you guys make meals and deliver them.
Very close. So almost there. So we get together every Wednesday, and we mm-hmm. donate to, we have a set homeless shelter we donate to, predominantly LGBTQ mm-hmm. homeless shelter. And we either buy food with the donations we've received, with money.
Monetary donations,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Or, you know, sometimes we get Kroger cards or whatever, and we'll plan a loose recipe. So mm-hmm. we have a little rotating thing of, like, lasagna or stir fry, or really good food that, like, we would eat anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we get together, and people come to us wherever our location is. People open their houses, open their kitchens, their venues, churches, and we cook in this one location, make as much food. If you don't know how to cook, fine, I will teach you how to cut an onion. Don't even worry about it. That's part of it. It's a big part of it, too.
That's a really cool outlet, too, to learn how to cook.
Yeah, absolutely. And you come hang out, and you can talk to people. And so it's this both aspect. And we do accept cooked food donations or anything like that, raw donations.
Because
if we don't use it this week, we'll save it and use it next week. But if you just want to do what my original intention was over a year and a half ago, of just, like, donate something and get out of there. Absolutely.
Or try to get out of there.
Yeah, we'll see. That's probably going to happen. You're going to try to get out of there and then stick around and have fun.
Right.
And that's the other aspect of it. So we cook food together. We talk to each other. We learn from each other. But there's also this really great, which I've always thought was a big part of it, is a big social aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all these different people that you wouldn't talk to anyway. Or, you know, I'm not saying that you wouldn't talk to, but you just wouldn't have a chance to speak to.
Right.
And so, yeah, and so we hang out. Some people drink, and that's great. Some people just don't, and that's also really cool. And we talk. Sometimes we watch a movie. Nothing's really planned. It's just like this kind
of... natural.
Yeah, this weekday party.
Yeah.
If you got to get out of there super early because you got to work in the morning like me, that's cool too.
What are the demographics usually?
Let's see. There's a breakdown.
Just curious what the crowd looks like.
I have to think.
I imagine it to be like a really
So it's a lot of friends.
Diverse. Uh-huh.
So we do get a lot of, you know, you call your friend and drag them there. And it's always funny because like the core group, what we call our coordinators, and all that means, there's coordinators and there's volunteers. If you show up once, you're a volunteer. You're in. You did it. You like the Facebook page. You're a volunteer. You're in. You're a part of our group. Coordinators are just those individuals who take up a little bit more responsibility. Like they'll just the ones who want to say, all right, I'll plan the recipe. I'll make sure the food gets dropped off. I'll, you know, something. So all the coordinators, all our core group is just, it's a lot like me, a lot of like kind of tattooed, semi-professional, weird punk art people.
I love it. Those are the most interesting ones.
Right. It's, you know, and, but then we'll get, and it's just always funny because we'll get, you know, a gay couple from Midtown will show up or the, this pansexual group will show and just like, hey, what's going on? Or just two heterosexual friends who don't even eat vegetarian food or vegan food and just want to help. And are just like, yeah, we're just here to help, bro. That's great. But I'm trying to think. We never really take any data. We don't really, you know what I mean? Like, we don't write anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we write down our stuff, but we don't really take demographic data.
No, so it's hard to, like, curious to see.
I'm trying to think. I get it's typically 20-something-year-olds. So I'm 28. So older 20, or, you know, early to mid to late 20-year-olds. We've had people who are 40 and 60. I mean, there's no restrictions.
We have friends.
There's dogs running around too, and people have brought dogs. We've had dogs that volunteered. They didn't do anything, but that was great.
They keep the company.
They're great.
How do most people learn about that? Is it through Facebook or is it word of mouth?
Facebook's great. Facebook's a really good one. Word of mouth helps. We do have flyers. I drop them off at different places and stuff. And these dogs are running around us. Yeah, or we have you know, people, part of that whole kindness thing where people just reach out, people just want to interview us and talk to us. And so we've had like two to three articles in Creative Loafing. People hear about that. We had somebody else just wanted, knew a producer at a news station. They just wanted to come through and talk to us to do like a feel good piece. Great. So we do get all these wonderful things. And we do table events sometimes, and which is always fun.
That's interesting. What kind, from the perspective of how people can contribute or be of service, what kind of help or what kind of resources do you need the most? Is it food, money, cooking supplies, just physical bodies?
Physical bodies. So we were growing really well, which is great. The issue is sometimes there's more people than there is jobs. And so we do really well switching it up. And so the goal is, we've always talked about it, and it always ends up having to take a back seat, is expanding. So like, cooking once a week is awesome. We love it. And we do events on weekends sometimes, too, of handing out meals to homeless people. Anything. We do it. It's great. But what we really want to do is maybe in a different location on a different night of the week have another cook night, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it would be wonderful. We tried to have, so we're all inside the perimeter of Atlanta. There was a group of people from the north side who wanted to start their own Radish chapter, and we were absolutely excited about it, doing everything we can to help them. It had to fall through and had to take a back seat because of other issues. And that's great. Well, you know, that's not great, but it's, you know, it's the way it goes.
Happens.
And so if we could get, we always need more dedicated people, more people willing to take that extra step with us.
Right.
And if you can't, because, I mean, it's a nightmare. I'm in grad school and working full time and doing Reddit. It's a lot. Like, I've had to step back. If you can't, that's fine. Show up and cook. We have, it's not Patreon. We have web pages where you can donate money. You know, whatever. Some people just gave a friend a box of knives and they're brand new and here you guys go. Great. Everything is totally appreciated. We have t-shirts you could buy if you just want to buy a cool looking t-shirt that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and that our friends made and designed. And it's like two radishes with a rainbow and stuff. You know, we sell things too, and 100% of it all goes right into. Pretty much goes right into the food. Like, it's right to the groceries. None of us get paid for this.
Yeah.
You know, we'll reimburse ourselves for, you know, if we spend some money on groceries or buying some extra t-shirts or something. But outside of that, it's 100%. It's literally what we cook.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What about, What about the consumer? So how do you identify the need, or do you have you been working with those specific homeless shelters for a while so that you kind of know what it is they're looking for?
So we started with a shelter in Atlanta called Lost and Found. Mm-hmm. And we had a fallout with them. Nothing big, you know, we're not, nothing I really want to go into.
Sure.
But we just had a falling out. And so we don't do them anymore. And it just, these people came and showed up one day, and they happened to work for a different shelter that was even bigger and actually had pregnant teens as well who really needed plant-based food because of the fear of wisteria and stuff. And, but also took a lot of runaways and even younger kids in. And so we were really into that idea. And actually, at the first shelter we were working with, they weren't really receptive to our food. Okay, it's just own. We just want to have that option out there. We want you guys to eat. This place, this new place we're at, love everything we cook. Nothing, no complaints. They love our vegan lasagna with the tofu ricotta. Mm-hmm. So it's really good. And we're serving more people. It's larger. So we went from serving 40 to 80 a week.
Do you think you're currently meeting demand? Or do you think you can use more resources? Like how are you?
We could definitely, like, we would love, like, as I said about expanding the cook nights, we would want to donate to more shelters. I mean, we've reached out, so it's a back and forth, right? So sometimes we'll be approached by someone. Sometimes it's ourselves reaching out, trying to figure out, okay, we can do more. We have more people. Mm-hmm. We can cook more food now. Let's do it. And that's how we reached out and found the Living Room, which is that homeless HIV, individuals with HIV and AIDS who are homeless, mm-hmm. getting housing. We provide sack lunches to them. We drop them off. We're the goal, I would love to say the focus of LGBTQ. It's not really relevant, though. Women's shelters is one place we're trying to expand to. Ahimsa House, which is an Atlanta-based charity.
Heard of them.
I know, they're wonderful.
I love the concept.
And we were a little confused about them at first. Yeah, it's great. And so we were trying to do donations with them.
So for those who don't know, can we quickly describe what Ahimsa House does?
Absolutely. Ahimsa House is an organization in Atlanta that takes in and provides free vet care to individuals who are escaping, abusive situations. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of the time abusers, so complete hypothetical, let's say there's a woman, she lives with her boyfriend who's abusive and they have a dog. The abuser typically will threaten and will harm the pet that's in, you know, to gain control, gain some sort of power. And so people are likely to stay to save the animal. Or when they do leave and are homeless and don't know where to go, they have this animal. Ahimsa House takes that animal in, feeds it, you know, and gives them free vet care. And, you know, absolutely gives them, as soon as they find housing, come and get it. Absolutely.
But it's, they provide this safe space for the pet where mm-hmm. having a pet does not have to be a limiting factor.
Right,
for
so you can get out and get be safe and get out of that awful situation.
That's so genius.
Right, and so we've had a couple correspondence with them in the past. And like everything, you know, it's just, I would love, what we really need is to find someone out there who can figure out how Radish can be a full-time job for us.
Right.
That would be awesome.
Do you think there is enough demand? Do you think there is enough?
Right now we're not organized enough. I mean, we are very organized, but I just don't think we're a large enough group yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, one day that would be, every time we meet, we're just like, can we just get paid for this?
Right.
We would donate so much more time. We'd be able to do so much more. But, you know, we have real life. Well, you know what I mean.
Of course. And it's so admirable to have you do just what you do already. I'm sure it's much more than a lot of people may be willing to contribute from their time perspective. But what I'm curious, if there was, for example, somebody that would be willing to help you establish a nonprofit or get you guys paid, do you think that from the consumer perspective, so from the people who need to get fed, do you mm-hmm. think there is enough demand to keep you guys busy?
Absolutely. So the American Health Association, the American Heart Association, sorry for banging on the table, all these wonderful organizations over and over again will state how America has a health crisis of heart disease and obesity, and switching to vegetarian, even vegan meals once a week, twice a week, really helps you, is a really good possibility. And so who are least likely to get these meals? Marginalized communities, whether that's all the minority groups, homeless individuals, people in food deserts. Like I said earlier, we say marginalized communities to be as inclusive as possible. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, a goal would be just to be able to provide hot meals to, you know, Bankhead.
Right.
You know what I mean? We could do a whole situation there. And there are wonderful organizations who are doing stuff like that. But yeah, we would address that issue as well, along with homeless resources and things. Yes, I 100%
love it.
Think we could do.
I love it. So it looks like there is a big vision behind it.
We all have our own visions. For me, so I am obsessed with cooking. That is my creative outlet. That's my main creative outlet. And that's like my de-stressor and my favorite thing to do. You have your podcast and your work. I have cooking. I would love to have some kind of restaurant one day.
Right.
And do and employ homeless LGBTQ youth and be able to help people get off the streets. Like, it's a bit of a pipe dream. Like I said, I'm in behavioral therapy. I work with special needs kids. I have no background in any of this. I've worked in a few kitchens. That's the max I have. But if we were able to be rash to become something like that, I would love that.
That is...
Other people have other things.
Awesome idea.
Right?
I love it.
Other coordinators have other ideas of just like, no, being like a center and people were able to come get food or an art, more art-focused movement. Like I said, a lot of us are artists, so that's great.
That is a really cool concept. So I get this magazine. It's called Conscious Company. I'm sure you heard about it. But, you know, it reminds me a little bit of the, there are a few of the companies like that on the market. One of them is Dave's Bread. I'm sure you've seen it around. That's like the vegan whole grain, like seed protein pad.
Oh yeah, bread. Yeah. I saw like a truck with it, but I don't know anything about it.
So the guy who started it, I think he came out of prison basically. He couldn't find work, and nobody believed in him. And then after trying for a while, he couldn't find anything fulfilling, but he loved cooking. And his family supported him through him starting his own company. And what he does, he specifically provides jobs to those who cannot find jobs otherwise because they have been incarcerated. But there's like so many concepts and companies like that where businesses are starting as a business, but then they also, other than making profit, they have this other additional, or maybe not additional, but the primary purpose of like conscious capitalism that emphasizes doing something good for society. So from your perspective, it could be like opening a restaurant or a kitchen or cooking something where you can provide jobs to those who are in need, and with that you could also provide them with nutrition and with education of how to properly feed themselves in a healthy, wholesome
way. Or get a job in this sense or something.
Yeah.
We've had individuals who we've supported in the past, so they were in shelters, and we provide food to that shelter, who wanted to come out and like cook with us.
Yeah.
And that's always been really cool. It's always just really
that's
interesting.
Awesome.
Not a lot, not as much as I would love for it to be, almost like I'd love for there to be a bus to take them from the shelter to us. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, something like that, or to be even closer in the shelter.
Do you see a Reddish food truck?
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Oh my God.
This is all in the very
right.
semi-distant future. We're nowhere near this kind of planning stuff. What we are leaning towards is just expanding in the sense of more cook nights, more organizations to help. You mentioned just like people who give their time, like it's admirable that we give our time. And so another big part too, for me, for my activism and stuff, because it's such a big word, it's such a scary thing. I never considered myself anything like that, like an activist. But through this organization and through volunteering at shelters and other works that I've done, someone finally just said, Jack, you are an activist. You are doing this. You go to the marches. You make signs. Like, you are
you
a change.
Get an interview for a podcast.
There you go. There you go. That it's really just that one little first part of that word that's the only part that matters, that act, right? So all you have to do, and we try to make it as easy as possible. For some places you volunteer at, you got to go through orientation. You got to do background checks. You got to do all this stuff. For us, you just show up at the location, help us start cooking, right? It's the easiest thing to do.
And
you just act. So, and in that vein, in that idea, even giving money to a homeless person on the street, you know what I'm saying? Or providing food to somebody, or leaving some food out for stray cats, you know, whatever. That's the first step. That's that action you're doing. And what we've done, what everyone else just does, is they're just a little bit more organized. We're just a little bit more consistent. And that's all you have to do. It's really easy. And then you get to say you're a fucking activist. And how cool is that? You know what I mean? In this era of just like heated politics and stuff, you could say like, no, I'm actually doing something. I do X, Y, and Z, and everyone's all impressed with you. And really, you're just hanging out with your friends and making new friends and cooking. And, you know, it doesn't feel like work.
I love it.
It's not that hard. It's great.
I love it. It's beautiful. Tell me, what is, if you, I'm sure there are many, but if you had to pick something, what is the most, your favorite or maybe the most rewarding thing about Radish for you?
It has to be that response we talked about, that just, so we haven't incorporated yet. Maybe by the time this comes out, maybe we'll start. I would really like to. We have differing ideas of how to do it, why to do it, which is fine. You know, we're always open to discussion with everybody. But accountants have called me up and donated time. Lawyers have just said, I'll walk you through the paperwork. It's easy. Here, we'll just show, yeah. Just like this constant feeding of just people, no pun intended, of just willingness to help. You know what I mean? And like I said, it could just be like some random heterosexual dude who, you know, cisgendered male who, for whatever reason, you know, loves his sister who's lesbian and just wants to help. For whatever reason. I don't care. You're helping us. It's awesome.
That is really cool.
And so it's that, yeah, that response we get, that how much people love us and love our idea.
I love it. I love it. I'm loving the idea. I cannot wait to come and hang out with you guys. I'm certainly doing that.
It's a lot of fun. Everyone's welcome. I mean, we do everything we can to make it a safe and positive space. We've never had any trouble or issues, or we've never had a bad person walk through the door. Hopefully we've never had anybody walk out, leave thinking they didn't become part of something.
Right.
I don't know everybody, but yeah, I mean, it is a really amazing and positive.
Got it. Okay, so now let's dial back in and go back to the vegan part of it and the plant-based part of it. So walk me through or tell me, when did this decision happen for you and what was the motivation?
So I'm not super religious, but I come from a really... Do you know what salad bar Catholics are? They like pick and choose, right? So it's supposed to be a slur, but... My family loves the term.
Oh, I'm getting it now.
Right, you just like pick the parts you want and you just like do whatever.
So yeah, make your own.
And so my mom is big on Lent. You got to give something up for 40 days. And I had a bunch of vegetarian and vegan friends. And so I said, you know what, I'll try it. Let me give up meat and be a vegetarian for 40 days. I felt physically so much better. I loved it. I felt so much better. I kept going. And that was for about 2 years. And then I was just getting into cooking. Another aspect of my family, just we're all in love with cooking. And just started challenging myself with vegan meals. Just like, all right, how can I make this, you know, this creamy, awesome sauce with just no milk, you know, no dairy. And it'll have less, oh, this is going to be great. And so it was just this push. And people even made fun of me. Just go vegan. Like, you know you want to. Come on. And eventually I did. And I just kept going. And, yeah, nothing. I don't miss anything. There's nothing like, I couldn't give up. Someone told me sour cream the other day, which I thought was really weird.
It is.
You know, it's such a strange one. Like, I've heard cheese and bacon and all that lame stuff. But it's like, no, you're good. Like, it's pretty, especially now. You know what I mean? Like, this year alone, like, it's gotten a huge increase. And some people call this fat. I don't care. I get to have a lot of vegan meals. I get to eat a lot more food. So that's always helpful.
That's cool.
But yeah, so it's been, I always used to say 6 months. And then 3 years had passed, so, you know.
More than 6 months.
More than 6 months. I've been vegan more than 6 months, at least.
That's definitely. Awesome. I love it because, so I'm not very religious either. Like, I'm from Ukraine, so by religion, I'm Russian Orthodox. But it's more, for me, it is more of a tradition. And it's more of like something that reminds me of home. And
cultural, kind of, yeah.
Exactly, yeah more than religious. But that's how I started, too. I started with Lent.
That's so funny.
And I just interviewed Cindy, you know, she was one of the teammates from the Team Humane as well. From Sinaholic, Cindy from Sinaholic. And she started with Lent, too.
That's so funny.
It's hilarious how all of us are not really religious, but this is the thing that brought us, I mean, or at least gave us an excuse to try this lifestyle.
Did you start going vegan or vegetarian?
I think the first one I went vegetarian, and then next year I went vegan, and then I just
kept going. That's awesome. That's so funny. I got to talk to more people about it because it's such a bizarre. My brother, so I have a twin brother, we're fraternal. We are very different seeming people. We are very similar, but on the outside, we seem very different. Mm-hmm. He went to joined a fraternity, went to like a really southern traditional school, joined the military. He's got his fiance, who's this girl, blah, blah, blah. Him and his girlfriend, you know, and he's a gun-toting, you know, jerk-off. I love him to death. He's great. He is a really cool guy. Him and his girlfriend went vegan for Lent. Mm-hmm. And they're not keeping it up. They broke down a little bit, but they love it. They are probably, they found their new favorite restaurant. His favorite Mexican restaurant is an all-vegan restaurant, and he's obsessed with it. And so it's just funny, that change.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I was really excited about when starting the podcast, is because I get to ask this question, because I feel like it's so different for different people. Like, what it is that motivates them? You know, somebody watched Forks Over Knives or What the Health, and then somebody else watched Earthlings. Somebody, like, you know what Ryan told me from Humane League? He told me it was a culinary experiment or something like that. He just like felt like challenged to
exactly,
do something
yeah.
like that. And I'm like, how, like, people, some
I gotta
people
talk to Ryan
wait,
about that.
Right? Some people wait for this, like, some kind of cardiac arrest disaster or some kind of health crisis in order to adapt the change. And then some people are like, I'm just curious. Let me try to never eat meat ever again.
That's so funny. And because it's such an annoying question when you get, like, asked at a party or, like, you're with coworkers and they're like, oh, you're vegan? How long have you been vegan? And just this, like, long, it's like, oh, you're gay? When did you come out? And it's just like, this is a long conversation.
I love
sucks.
That you compare the two.
It's kind of similar in that, because you get the same dumb questions. Not all the time, but, you know, how did you come out? Like, let me tell you that. Like, I don't want to have an emotional conversation with you, Patty. Get back to work.
I love it.
Here, but, you know, in this setting, I absolutely don't mind it because it's, mm-hmm. you know, we're recording it, I guess. And there's a microphone involved. But yeah, no,
I don't
no totally.
You can come back from that. I love it. I love it. No, yeah, but I'm just really curious what motivates people. Because to me, it seems like, especially right now, it just seems like it's like such a no-brainer. You know, like all the information is there. Mm-hmm. Either you care about animals, environment, health, other people's health, whatever you care about. There's plenty of reasoning that the information is there. And
whatever you start with, like if you it's a culinary experiment, as bizarre as that is, and that's cool. Everything else really just falls into place really quickly.
Right.
Like, I didn't, it's not that I don't care about animals, but I just wasn't that concerned when I was younger, you know, years ago. And went vegan just because, and I didn't really, still didn't really care about it, and that now I have this huge
right.
compassion for animals. Or the environment, that has become a huge focus of mine. Mm-hmm. And it just, everything else just falls neatly into place.
Absolutely. I'm in the same way. I came for, the Lent was my excuse for trying it, but I think
yeah.
originally I came in from through the health perspective door, but I definitely stayed for everything else.
Yeah.
And what else was I going to say? Oh, I think it's, what's cool about it is I feel like once I did try it for a while, right, and I kind of stopped needing to justify myself from why I should be eating animals or why I shouldn't care about the environment. It's like once you stop trying so hard to like put the blinds on mm-hmm. and you can see clearly what's happening, I think it's like at that point it's like, well, that's obvious. Yeah. Okay. So tell me about the actual work that you do during the day.
The job?
Yes.
Because
that's another part that really
Yeah, I work. So I work with special needs kids. I am currently in school to become an analytical behavioral analysis analyst. Doesn't make sense. Analyst. By the end of my college, I will know how to say that word correctly. And probably
part of the training.
And probably spell it. You know, I got my undergrad in psychology and I learned how to spell psychology correctly from it. It's great. But yeah, so I work predominantly with special needs kids. I started when I was like 15 teaching swim lessons, and then they were just like, you're patient, you can work with these kids. And yeah, sure. And it just always developed. I used to work in residential mental health. I used to work in a private practice clinic. And it just keeps kind of just rolling in this. And it's great. Today, you know, we do work and we help these kids. But a decent chunk of time, I don't know. I don't want to say that. That's the wrong way. But, you know, you're playing with a kid and you're laughing. You know what I mean? Like, you guys will do some hard work and people will get upset and we'll get through this. But then you're just like messing with these really goofy kids who are hilarious, and like you're gonna laugh for the next 2 days because she finally talked to you and her first word was shut up. And it's just like, oh, maybe I should stop talking to that girl, like she really doesn't want to talk to me. Okay.
Oh.
But she has to because we need her to talk.
I love it. And I mean, you're being so humble about it too. It's just amazing.
I don't have the necessary skill set to be a mechanic, right? That's how I see it. I have tried working in an office job once. That's where I got fired. And so it doesn't work for me. This works for me. This I'm good at. This is something I like kids. I like helping people. I'm very patient with them. Everywhere else in my life could use it, but whatever. It's just what I am good at doing, and people pay me to do it. So it
That's
doesn't feel
cool.
like a great, you know, I don't feel like a martyr, like a great, you know, person for it. It's just, no, this is just what I do, and I really like it. And if you want to call me a great person, you can. I mean,
I absolutely will. What is the most rewarding part about that job of yours?
It's the kids. It's when you make these big changes. So a lot of kids I work with have autism, and that's an umbrella term. It's a big diagnosis, and it means different things for different individuals. But for some, they are very rigid, right? In the sense of, like, schedules have to go this way, like things that you see that. And when you can get them to be able to accept changes, because real life, nothing follows the schedule, and they are okay with it, that's huge, right? Or like, all right, it's, for whatever reason, they thought they were having pizza for dinner. We didn't get pizza, we got something else. And 2 weeks ago, they would have freaked out and cried and ruined the entire day. Now, they're a little upset because, well, who wouldn't be? They were promised pizza. But they move on, and they're like, okay. And that's like that moment where you see that growth in these kids, mm-hmm. or with anybody. But you just see this potential and this growth happen, and you're just like, you know, you can ride that high for a few months until, and then you'll get another one. Or, because it is hard. It is, like I told you, like, I got my button down ripped open today because a girl thought I'd look better with it. A client of mine was upset, and that's what she did. And that's okay. But at the same time, she was able to stop her worksheet and go do something else. You know, she didn't have to finish it. It was not OCD. She'll do something else in that same day. It was great. I can ride that out for a while.
That's awesome. Okay, I have just a few random questions for you. What's your favorite vegan meal to make?
I am obsessed with seitan. In the vein of talking about religion and stuff. I love making, it's always typically chicken flavored, because mm-hmm. that's what I'm obsessed with. Chicken wings are a horrible monster of a food, but I get it. So I love making hot seitan, like hot seitan wings. That's my favorite thing to make.
What's your favorite restaurant in Atlanta?
Favorite restaurant in Atlanta? It's got to be... I did find a really good one the other day in the West End. That was a Caribbean restaurant.
I've heard of a few there, but I've never been to the West.
Oh, they're really good. The West End has some really good... They have a raw vegan restaurant called Tassili's. And, like, raw vegan, it's a little... I get it. You know, like, oh, that's weird. It's really good.
I need to try that.
It's really good. Favorite restaurant in Atlanta, though? Viva La Vegan. Actually, that's also in the West End. Amazing. No. It's got to be. It's definitely Go Vegetarian. You typically get takeout there, but they're breakfast food. I love breakfast. I've always loved breakfast even before I was vegetarian or anything. Their breakfast is the best vegan breakfast in the city.
And that's actually close by here somewhere,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been
it's
there
right
for breakfast.
It's right next to an all-vegan vegetarian Indian restaurant that does a buffet.
There is one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I've been craving Indian food for a while now.
Oh, it's all vegetarian. And, you know, so there's some stuff with paneer in it. Mm-hmm. But, no, it's great. And, like, it's very obvious which one it is. And they're just like, no, you can just have this. And, like, but, yeah, go vegetarian. Go there. Go eat in there or get takeout, whatever, and get it there. Their seitan's really good. Their fake chicken. And you can get it's awesome.
Yeah, I think I've heard a lot of good things, and I heard somebody mentioned me breakfast there, but I haven't tried it.
Everything there is pretty good, but it's definitely breakfast. Like, I mean, there's nothing better for me than, like, waking up with, like, friends or partner and just, like, throwing on clothes real quick, going and grabbing this food, bringing it back, and just, like, hanging out in your, you know, underwear and just eating this amazing breakfast on a cold, rainy day. It's the best.
I love it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
I love the picture of that. is there, do you have any favorite documentaries that you would suggest people watch to kind of expand their horizons?
Expand their horizons. So I'm trying to think of the one I really like. So I approach things from a social perspective. I also have a degree in sociology, and still have trouble spelling that. That's okay. So there's really good stuff out there, and it's actually, I've heard it in podcasts and stuff where they just address the issues of wealth inequality and the working class. And they have, but if a really good vegan one, though, overarchingly, I like Carnivore. It's a mockumentary by the BBC. It's really funny.
I haven't seen that
and
one.
And so, you know, I go that, I lean more towards, you're going to catch more flies. I said this to somebody today. You're going to catch more flies with honey than vinegar or agave nectar, so it's vegan.
yes, I love it.
Right. So it's this really funny comedy about, it seems like a documentary, but it's not. It's about in the distant future, not distant, but, you know, semi-distant future, everyone's vegan and, you know, like queer and all hippied out and everything. And just loving, and it's all peaceful. And then they just talk about their perspective. Just like, back, I can't believe, you know, this long ago, people would actually eat other animals, other creatures, other living, breathing things. And it's hilarious. And they just make all these awesome jokes.
I love it. I'm going to need to watch that.
And you get, there's a million out there that'll give you good reasons for the health and good reasons. This is something that I actually want to watch. You know, that I'm not just like, want to throw up or something.
Right. No, and I like that idea. I mean, I think there is place for every kind of activism and every kind of message, but I personally don't necessarily have to see certain things to get the memo. So I agree with you. And sometimes, as you said, sometimes you can attract more people with humor and with being inclusive rather than being aggressive.
And that's a big part of Radish. Like I said, there's this awesome hangout and like social aspect of it of just like, come here and try cook. We had these two individuals. They're actually cooking at my house, and they had never made anything before. And they made vegan pesto, and it was really good. We had the recipe and everything for them. One of the other coordinators was helping walk them through it, just so, you know, whatever. But they did all the work themselves, and it was really good. And they were so proud of themselves. And they aren't vegan. One of them was LGBT, is LGBTQ. And then the other one was just some girl, and they were so proud of themselves. And it was really good. Like, we were all really impressed. I was like, what's this recipe? Like, this is great. Like, it was awesome.
That's cool.
And so that's always, you know, so then they were felt really encouraged and inspired to, like, go cook for themselves and stuff. And, well, yeah, you should. And bring me back a recipe.
Right.
Yeah.
If there are some people who are listening to this and they're, like, not sure, they're kind of curious about the vegan plant-based meals, but they're not sure if they should try it, or maybe they're intimidated, what would you say to them?
Baby steps are always good. I mean, I've met people who straight up went from carnivore to vegan, like a light switch. Great. That's insane. I don't understand how that works. I need a little bit more time. And so, but if you need those baby steps, that's cool. Don't worry about it. I have one of our coordinators who is now fully vegan, but was vegan 6 days a week, and they are an athlete, and they just really like eggs. You can say that, yes, eggs are gross and sad and disgusting and everything, sure. But that was just the one thing they needed. And then eventually that faded out.
Right.
And so just like changing, just be consistent. Give yourself one meal a week, right? Just say, I mean, nobody wants to eat a salad, but I like, going vegan, you'll eventually crave salads. It's weird. But just one thing, just one meal a week, you and whoever you're with or by yourself, just say you'll drink smoothies every day and replace that milk with almond milk. And hey, dude, you've had a vegan breakfast every day this week. You did it. Like, okay, cool. All right, can you do lunch? Like, all right, let's do salads and hummus wraps. All right, this is pretty cheap and it's good and you're going to lose weight.
Right.
Like, just baby steps. And you're going to get there. And anyone who tells you, because there's so many stupid, you just grow and mature out of it. Because I was definitely one of those people who made fun of vegans, right? You know what I mean? Like, I had vegan friends.
I can
just like,
see you do
oh,
that
of course,
too.
Right? Like, I'm such a bro. Like, I have such a, you know, like, if you can't see me, I have a beard and I'm wearing a hat, you know, like a baseball hat. And, like, I'm such a bro. Like, and yeah, lame vegans, blah, 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 blah. Now I am vegan, of course. And everyone I'm still friends with me from that laugh at me. But you just ignore it, and you just tell these people, are you serious? Like, grow up, dude. Who cares? What do I eat that bothers you so much? Yeah.
I love it. Well, you, at least in my book, you obviously act through the value of kindness, which is very, very obvious to me. But if you had to define what that means for you and how you get to express it in your daily life, how would you word that?
So I had a conversation with a family member very similar to this a couple years ago. So I mentioned my family earlier. I come from this really bizarre, fucking weird family where we all like each other and we all get along. And like, I'm not even kidding. Like, we enjoy spending time together. And as different as we all are, because they don't like music, they don't have tattoos. Well, some of them like music, some of them have tattoos, but in general, no. I have this huge cousin. I just got back from Baltimore where I spent 6 days with my second cousin, you know, and we are best friends. It's just this huge family. And not a lot of people have a wonderful family like I do. Most people don't. And I was talking to one of them about it, and they, for them, for their practice, because they work in a psychology practice as well, it's providing that support and that family. And because some people, their family sucks and they're shitty people and they have to go out in the world and make a new family with their friends and their chosen family. And if you can be that, if you can just be a nice person and kind of help inspire that, great. I have all these benefits. I have all this privilege from this wonderful family and I just want to help everybody else with it, you know? Take my gift and go.
This is really beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, this is nice. I like this. I'm excited to hear this.
Cool. I'm sure for many more to come.
All right. We'll see you at Radish soon, I'm sure.
Yes,
you
will. For more information, you can go to followyourkind.com or follow me on Instagram at kindchristina. Please also subscribe to the show and give me a good review. Thanks for stopping by.